So last week, I tickled a few of you. Anyone remember the message from last week? The Holy Spirit suddenly invades and says, you know what? Let's change things up a little. Everyone's getting a little comfortable. And some of you felt it was a nice teaching. You know, it was cute. It was good teaching, right? I felt nice. Then you really not understood what really happened. You see, last week was anesthesia. This week is operation. You really think that God expects nothing from you after having deposited into you? Now, last week, some of you who joined after quite a lot. Now, you saw 21 years he's walked with me. But you've just joined and Florence has just joined. And last week, the Lord said, you know, even if you'll join at the end, you'll have the same benefits. Well, I want to tell you that's a good part. Now, let me tell you the negative part of it. Even though you joined last, you'll get the same operation as those who walked. And the same demand is placed on you. And I will use the scalpel of the word to open you up. But you can talk to me. It's local anesthesia, not general. So you're not asleep. But we have to understand that there is a demand heaven places on us. Heaven doesn't just give for your jollies. I don't know if you'll understand this. If you're Anglo-Indians, you know what jollies is. Some of us grew up around Anglo-Indians. So last week we spoke about the church in Egypt, the church in the wilderness, and the church in the promised land. And upon investigation, we found out that we are the church in Egypt. You're about to say wilderness or promised land. But you are not there in Egypt. But actually, we're not really in Egypt. We're sort of in Egypt. Okay? So, the voice has come to you saying, gird up your loins and take your staff. Eat your meal as if you are leaving, for you are leaving. Oh, you didn't get it. That's so weak. You didn't understand what I just said. I said, you are leaving. Egypt. You are on the shore of the sea. That is why sometimes you are Christ-centered and other times you are need-centered. You are need-centered, you are Christ-centered, you are Christ-centered, you are need-centered. You are vacillating between these two because you are on the shore of the sea with Egypt behind you and no man to open the door, but a man has manifested with the roar of the Lord and Amen. The word Amen. Of God in his mouth. All you have to do is follow him. Slap your neighbor and say, follow him. Slap your neighbor. Follow him. You hear? Follow him. For he follows Christ.
Yes.
So Christ can lead us out of Egypt. Now the church in Egypt, last week I think we looked at it, but we look at it again, is a church that is focused, that has been bought by the blood, no problem. Saved by Jesus, not a problem at all. They have a confession of faith, they have a statement of faith, all that is fine, but their prayer meetings are all called Gimme Gimme, My Name is Jimmy Club. You know the club, right? They all have active members and card holders of the Gimme Gimme, My Name is Jimmy Club. Hold up your card, your ID cards are holding. Your ID card is that when you go to pray, you will not last 5 to 10 seconds, even 1 minute of thanksgiving, you will get into giving. Is it true or not?
Yes.
Absolutely. It has nothing to do with you. Don't worry. It's your flesh. Divorce yourself from the flesh.
Yes.
Right? God is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God is
Father.
Loudly. You should talk loudly. Your Father doesn't beat you. I'll talk to him. Right? God is
Son.
Give us some more food because I can't hear her. In your case, you can say all the three by yourself. God is no food for her. Is there no one who can say loudly? Let's try here. God is
the Father, the Son,
Hey, you have no problem. You finish the Father, finish the Son. Who's the third person? The Romans 8:28, for all you know, the Holy Spirit. God is three in one. But he made man. Is man three? Are you three? Are you telling me there are three Sams right now here? Are you telling me that? Yes. We are spirit. Say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
Say, I have a mind.
I have a mind.
Some of us don't have mind. Some of us have left it and come. You have a mind? Say, I am a spirit.
I have a mind.
I live in this body.
Go
ahead and look at the palace God has given you. You got the palace God has given you? Some of us are two-story, some of us only basement. Right? Some of us do play. Some mega structures. But we live in this body. So why am I saying that? Because the church in Egypt, say body,
body.
Soul.
Spirit.
Father.
Son.
Holy Spirit. Body.
Soul.
Spirit.
Egypt.
Wilderness.
Promised Land.
The church in Egypt is primarily concerned with the body. Not the body of Christ. The body. I need, I want. I worry about what I have to eat. I worry about what I have to wear. Now you may shake your head, but the truth is you do. It is the Egyptian system that has infiltrated the church that has made you so. Now, you can't say, no, Pastor, from today on, I just quit my job. No, you can't do that. You'll die. God doesn't want you to die. He wants you to transition. Mm-hmm. He wants you to migrate. So, what's going to happen? The church in Egypt always is saying, give me. I need this, I need that, I need. So, it's characterized by prayers of need. It's a need-based, self-centered church. But the church in the wilderness, which is the soul, starts focusing on Jesus, the soul, in the mind, and starts growing. We will eventually, hopefully, get to the church in the promised land with the Spirit. But also, did I speak to you about the Abraham church, Isaac church, and Jacob church? No? Last week I didn't speak. Okay, we can speak this week. So there is an Abraham church, an Isaac church, and a Jacob church. Wow, you didn't know that, did you? The Abraham church gets the revelation of God, my? Not Father. Come on. What kind of Bible reader are you? Jehovah? God is my? Who needs provision? Those who have needs. Church in Egypt? Church of Abraham. Are you a church of Abraham? Some of you are very proud. You call ourselves the church of Abraham. The church of Isaac is a church that is Christ-centered. Well, Isaac is the son. Christ-centered. That's a church that knows to give sacrificially also. That's a church that has prosperity.
Oh, attention now.
I got your attention now. Say, he prospered.
He prospered.
Or rather say, he began to prosper.
He began to prosper.
Continued prospering.
Continued prospering.
Became very prosperous.
Became very prosperous.
All of this is one goal. Not in the sweet by and by, not in the beyond now. You will eat the good of this land.
Yes. Yes.
You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yes.
God desires you to be prosperous. Come on, pat your pockets and say, it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Alright. So now, we are a church that needs, yeah, you can pat your phones because many times it comes to the phone. We olden days people like me carry money, cash.
Okay.
We have to transition to the church in the wilderness. You have to realize that you need to transition. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen. You're going to think this is all there is. Say, outer court.
outer court,
holy place,
holy place,
holy of holies.
Holy of holies.
The church of the outer court is the church of sin and forgiveness. That's all. And that's why preachers of the outer court will preach, believe in the Lord and be saved. Amen. And that's all. You go to heaven, rapture. But that's a message that's been preached.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many churches will preach that message. Believe in the Lord, you shall be saved. Get raptured, leave everything for the Muslims.
Yeah.
And the Islams. Don't own land. Mm-hmm. I heard that there's a man who's taking rent for mansions in heaven. Mm-hmm. He's taking rent in America.
Oh.
If I tell you his name, you'll be shocked. You know his name. Not in the sweet by and by. Now. So the church of the outer court deals with the forgiveness of sin. I'm not belittling the forgiveness of sin. Please understand. The brazen altar, the furniture in the outer court, the two furnitures in the outer court, the brazen altar and the brazen lamp, they are our entry into life. Jesus said, I am the way. So that is the way. His forgiveness of your sin is the way. The altar is the way. You cannot go in until you go through the altar. Now what is put on the altar?
Sacrifice.
What kind of sacrifice? Romans 12, 1. Offer yourself as
living
sacrifice. Not dead sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. You get it? You get it? You are the sacrifice. Oh, I thought Jesus was the sacrifice. Yes, he was the sacrifice, so you can become the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with the living sacrifices is they'll kick and scream. That's why we tie them down. We have ropes to tie sacrifices down until it's done. Bind us together with cords of love. That's the love that will bind you on the... Are you telling me love is going to keep me on the altar that's going to take my life? Because the life that you have is Adamic. And the life that you need to live is in the life of the Son.
Amen.
Who gave His life for you.
Yes.
So there will be a substitution that happens at the brazen altar. You have to die. But you cannot enter. I am the way, the truth and the life. So the way is the only way.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have Israel mania happening. Right? We have Israel mania happening. Everybody is pro-Israel. People are crying on the streets. In Holland, they had a prayer meeting on the road. Apparently, people kneeling down saying, God, help Israel. Kill the people in Gaza. But there are Christian believers in Gaza. Palestinian Christians in Gaza. So the life of Israelites are greater than the life of the Palestinian Christian? No. Are you seeing the warped sense of understanding? Many, many people believe, Christians believe, their life is worth less than the life of the Jews. They feel the Jews are superior. And people, unfortunately, like your dad and others, who preach this, have fed that mania. The Jews are better. I was walking on the street on Brigade Road. These were the days when I was not politically correct. Not politically correct now also. And two Americans who had shaved their head off and had those little kumtis came to me, dressed in dhotis. Tall guys, I mean like really tall guys. Hare Krishna fellows. They came to me with their book in their hand and said, could we interest you in the most selling book in the world? I said, I hope it's a Bible. Because the Bible is the most selling book in the world. Are you a Christian? I said, I'm a Bible-believing, Jesus-fearing man. Tell me how I can help you. He said, oh, you must be so happy that you're born in an Indian, in an Indian form. Because Nirvana is so close to you. Because you were born in this form. We whites, we don't get it. We have to die and hope that we are born in this form. I had nothing witty to come back to that because the sheer hopelessness in his voice and the desperation in his eyes threw me off guard. And then he went off. And then I thought about it for many, many years. This incident. Many people believe that certain people groups have been blessed by God and therefore they're superior. For sure, Americans believe that. That's why the last 100 years they have had about 150 wars.
Yeah.
All initiated by them, by the way. So this thing is because there's a warped understanding of who you are. There's a warped understanding of who you are. You know, in Exodus chapter 30, I think it's 23, it says, and these principal spices, maybe 25, that's this kind of. Exodus 30 and 23 says, and take these principal spices. What? Say principle.
Principle.
Don't get lost in your Bible that you're not hearing what I'm saying. Some of you hide in your Bibles not to hear the voice of the Lord. I want to tell you, take these principal spices. What is that? Principle. That's the word, a word in Hebrew, Rosh. Do you know anyone who's called Rosh? You know what Rosh means? It means preeminent. The first, not preeminent, sorry. The first, captain, head, leader, principal. Most important. Right? Take these principles. Say principal spices.
Principal spices.
And there are five. How many are there?
Right.
There's myrrh, there's sweet smelling cinnamon, there's calamus, there is olive oil, and there's cassia. Five. Myrrh, calamus. Come on, you can repeat up. Myrrh, calamus, cinnamon, cassia, olive oil. Say five. It takes five to make the anointing oil. It takes what?
Five.
It takes five. One can't. You're all principal spices sitting here.
Yeah.
Come on. And pat your belly and say it's there. Pat your belly and say it's there. Ah, your belly.
The big one.
Pat your belly and say it's there.
It's there.
You all are principal spices. Say, I'm a principal spice. Slap your neighbor and say, jump in the pot. Slap your neighbor and say, jump in the pot. You know why? Because the apothecary is going to mix those principal spices to make the anointing oil.
Amen.
And who's the apothecary? Jesus. Not you. Jesus is going to put you in a pot. Look around. We are in a pot.
Yes.
Jesus is going to mash you and smash you and mix you and fix you and make the anointing. So what am I saying? The anointing oil only happens when we come together.
Amen.
People have a misunderstanding of what anointing is. We are not talking about personal anointing at all. There is a place for personal anointing. But whenever God talks about anointing, He only looks at corporate.
Amen.
The only corporately can the anointing oil of God manifest.
Amen.
That's the anointing oil.
Anointing oil.
So, if God has to manifest this anointing oil, all, everyone, five spices, all five are principal.
Yeah,
That means there are many spices.
Yes.
Of course, there are five other things for the incense. Oh. We're not talking about that now. That has a name. We're talking about oil. So there are five spices that come together. Say, I'm a spice.
I'm a spice.
Say, ooh, spicy.
Ooh, spicy.
We come together to make the anointing oil. That means alone by yourself, you can't go out and say, I have the anointing of the Lord upon me.
Mm-hmm.
He has called me to deliver the good news to people, to release those who are bound, to heal the brokenhearted, to heal. No! We can only say it together. Christ did it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm getting there. Mm-hmm. I'm getting there. I'll tell you why He could do it. So, what does that mean? That means you need to be part of the pot.
Yeah.
Only then anointing oil. You're getting it. You're getting it. I think you're getting it. No problems. You're getting it. So now, what is the anointing oil for? We'll come to that. What is the anointing oil for? It is not to build a ministry. It's not to build your fame, your name. It is to pour on the head of Christ. All oil is for the ministry of Christ. we have to pour our oil. That's what we did in the morning. We brought our singing. You know, whatever God has given us, His wonderful gifts He's given us, His words that we want to say. And we poured it on Him. We poured it on Jesus. When you pour it on the head, guess where it goes? On the body. Because Jesus is the one who carries it, He can say, He has anointed me. And when He says He has anointed me, He's talking about you and me.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't get that.
Yeah.
You see, in Christ, when He spoke, He pulled you in.
Yeah.
You know, He's like this. 1 minute, hold on. He's anointed me. So we are anointed in Him.
Amen.
To do all those things.
Yes.
But you have to understand, it doesn't happen outside the corporate. So look around you. This is the pot.
Mm-hmm.
This is the pot. Many more will join this pot.
Yes.
But this is the pot. If you do not have a commitment to this pot, if you do not have a love for this pot, if you don't understand the principal nature of each other, you will miss it. You will live your life and go to, you will die and go to heaven. No, no problem. Without having fulfilled what God has said. You get it? You understand? You're understanding? Because the Bible talks about you. Us. You. Are you following? Are you following the stage? He says, John 7:38, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
I love that. Where it shall flow from?
Bellies.
Now you have to understand the symbolism of it. The word flow there is the word reto, from which we get the word rhetoric. So this is the word of faith. You get it now? Hey, don't lose track. Come on, flow with me. Don't lose track. Some of you are getting lost. Just relax those eyebrows. You know? Slap your neighbor and say, go with him. Come on. You stuck between people who really slap you. You're not slapping this neighbor, I see.
No.
Okay. Anointing oil is poured on Jesus because in Jesus is trapped you and me. Okay. Now, the book of Hebrews, what does it mean? The book of Hebrews mean? Huh? Yeah, how many of you are going to hear?
The one who crosses the river.
The one who crosses the river. How many of you didn't know that? Yeah, now you know. Out of the mouth of babes. The one who crosses, and it's apt for us.
Yes.
It's apt.
Yes.
We are getting ready to cross.
Yes.
So study the book of Hebrews. It's a wonderful book. From chapter 5 onwards, he starts just talking about Jesus. It's beautiful.
Yes.
It's very beautiful. And you'll find many, many things. It's beyond the scope of this conversation to go word for word on this one. But in chapter 7 also, there's a lot said. Oof. Oof. The ministry of Jesus. Oh, there's a lot said about the ministry of Jesus. Okay? His ministry is eternal. His ministry is unending. His ministry is for all. You read Hebrews 7 and you'll find all that. His ministry flows from a life that never ends. You know, this in Romans as well. So, now, the book of Hebrews, it brings it to culmination in Hebrews 8 and verse 1. Can you read Hebrews 8 and verse 1? Now understand this now. He's talking from chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and we come to Hebrews 8 and 1. Read loudly and clearly for us.
Now of the things which we have spoken.
What things he had spoken? From 5 and 6 and 7.
This is the sum.
This is the sum. Say sum.
Sum.
This is the finality. This is the fulfillment. This is the completeness. You get it? So that means what? Everyone should sit up in their chairs and pay attention to what is going to come next. Because I have been talking and talking about Jesus for 3 chapters hence. From then. And I'm going to sum up Jesus. I'm going to sum up heaven now.
We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man.
Oh, so go and study that, and I will condense it. I will percolate it for you and say, we have a new man in the throne with a ministry. We have a new man in the throne with a ministry. That's what it's saying. A high priest, a new man from heaven in the throne with a ministry. Say, a new man,
new man
in the throne,
in the throne
with the ministry.
With the ministry.
Say, new man,
new man
in the throne,
in the throne
with the ministry,
with the ministry.
Prophet,
prophet,
priest,
priest,
king.
King.
Oh, wait a minute, we caught a wane. We caught a wane. Let's not let go now. Prophet, priest, king, summed up in Jesus' life. Jesus is the prophet. You know that.
Yes.
You know Jesus is the prophet.
Yes.
You know Jesus is the high priest.
Yes.
You also know Jesus is the king of the order of Melchizedek. So you know Jesus is prophet,
yes.
Jesus is priest, Jesus is
king.
King. In him you are prophet, priest, and king. Oh, don't aim at me yet. You are prophet, priest, and king. Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. So, what does a prophet do? What does a prophet do? A prophet speaks for God. What does a priest do? He speaks for God, but he speaks to God for man. Oh, you missed it. Let me say it again. Prophet speaks for God, priest speaks to God for man. And a king enforces for God.
Amen.
Get it? So as a prophet, you speak for God. He speaks for God. He will point out and say, this. I speak for God. I don't care about anything. A priest will speak for man to God. And a king enforces. Okay. John 7:38 says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of water. Right? You got that? I remember that. Ezekiel 47:1 says, from the temple flowed what? Water. Guys, track with me. Don't get lost. Revelations 22 says, from the throne came water. So we have water from the belly, prophet. Water from the temple, priest. Water from the throne,
king.
King. Water from the prophet, words of faith. Prophet comes and speaks words of faith. Water from the priest, water from the temple will draw you to God. Water from the throne will establish you. You have to understand that God desires to establish you in Christ. You're following me. Three, four things. The question you should be asking is, these are all nice, but how do I put it into practice? Very good question. Wonderful question. I'm glad you asked. Now that's what is the crux of everything. To be able to put it into practice. There is revelation, there is illumination, but there should be application.
Yes.
You cannot just have one. You cannot have revelation. This is what you are getting. You have illumination when you sit down with what you're getting. Application when you apply what you want. You get it? You get it?
Yes.
Is it good?
Yes.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Waters from the belly. Say, waters from the belly.
Waters from the belly.
You don't initiate it. Say, I don't initiate it.
I don't initiate it.
Out of your belly shall flow water. The Holy Spirit will do a work.
Yeah.
As a prophet. Now. Pay attention. I'm not saying you will go around telling the future. That's not what a prophet is. A prophet speaks for God. He's not a fortune teller. Say, I'm not a fortune teller. My fortune's told.
Yes.
I'm not a fortune teller. You get it? Prophet, priest, king. Are you guys following?
Yes.
Are you seeing that the river that flows is life, is a spirit that has to flow distinctly in three ministries? It flowed distinctly in Christ. It should flow distinctly in you. But Pastor, I can't talk to people. I'm scared. I've never spoken to people. I don't know enough of the Bible. Out of your belly shall flow
water.
Out of your belly shall flow. Okay, now look at my whiteboard. Can you see my whiteboard?
Yes,
I've written Jesus here. Jesus? You see? Kingdom over here. Jesus leads us to the kingdom. You can see that, right? I've written. You can see it, right? Come on, you nuts. There's no board over here. But you can see it. You can imagine the board. So under Jesus, I'm going to write prophet, priest, king. Under Jesus, I'm going to write what?
Prophet,
priest, king. Under kingdom, I'll write righteousness, peace, joy. Because kingdom, you remember?
Yes.
Under Jesus, prophet, priest, king. Under kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy. So, I'll say the prophet brings righteousness, the priest brings peace, and the king brings joy. Because when a prophet speaks, he establishes righteousness. When a priest speaks, he brings peace. And a king, joy. How do you apply it in your life? You need to have righteousness. That is your prophetic ministry to yourself and people around you. You need to have peace. That is your priestly ministry to you and to people around you. You need joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Where is it? Which word? Nehemiah? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy comes only when the king is available.
Amen.
If there is no king in the land, there is unrest, no joy. Get it? Are you guys following me? I'm wondering, what is he talking about? All disconnected stuff.
No.
Don't worry. Don't worry. My job is to present the Holy Spirit will stitch you all back together. You go home with your guts hanging off. No problem. No surgeon stitches the patient back, you know, right? So, in your life, is the prophetic ministry active? You have been following Christ for the last decade or more. Is the priestly ministry active? Is the kingly ministry active? These are the questions you have to ask yourself. Because he says, how many of you have the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Come on, I want to see a show of hands. You sure? All of you have the Holy Spirit? Whoever has the Holy Spirit has three ministries. That means you have it. That means there is something going wrong. You know, if you didn't get it, let's push it a little more further. Song of Songs 4 and 12 says, you know, it talks about my lover, my wife, my sister. He's a garden. What a phrase. Come on, we'll read it from the Bible. 4, 12.
A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up. Fountain sealed.
See, you're a garden. Say garden.
Garden.
Say spring.
Spring.
Say fountain.
Fountain.
Say again, garden.
Garden.
Spring.
Spring.
Fountain.
Fountain.
Okay, come on, you can do better than that. Garden.
Garden. Spring. Spring. Fountain.
But here is the rub. Here is the problem. Mm-hmm. You are shut up. You are sealed. You are. What's the last one?
Enclosed.
You are enclosed and shut up and sealed. You are a garden. You are a spring. You are a fountain. Say, I'm a garden.
I'm a spring.
I'm a spring. I'm a fountain.
I'm a fountain.
But I'm enclosed. I'm shut up.
I'm
sealed.
I'm sealed.
What has happened to your walk? Why do you think the Holy Spirit visited us so powerfully? Because He wants you to repent. And I pray last week He began something. You thought it's a cute message. You didn't know this is coming this week. You have no clue what's coming next week. Repent of your behavior. Oh, Don't get condemned.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, God never asked you to try to be a garden. He never told you to try to become a spring or a fountain. You are.
Amen.
You are. But you're enclosed. You're shut up. Right? Oh, what can we do? Next verse.
Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates.
Look at this now. Now I want to tell you something. Pay attention to me. In your garden are 9 fruits. Oh, sounds familiar? How many fruits?
9
fruits. Say 9.
9.
Other than the pomegranate, every other thing was imported. That means out of this world. Pay attention now. Other than the pomegranate, 8 different fruits were brought out from outside. Other worldly stuff. From another realm they came into your garden. Pomegranate has 613 seeds. It represents the word of the Lord that was installed in your garden. The remaining 8 were imported into your garden. You did nothing. You have 9 fruits imported from another world, from heaven. Say, I have 9 fruits in my garden.
I have 9 fruits.
Did you try to grow it? No. The Holy Spirit imported it. Oh, nice. You're a holding facility. But the problem is you're enclosed. Don't reap those fruits. Go to the next. Blow.
Awake, O north wind.
Awake, O north wind.
And come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out.
Oh, we have, say, principal spices.
Principal spices.
Say, we have principal spices.
Principal spices.
When I said you are the garden, did you think you are the garden? Or you
Gotcha.
You have to get over your independent thinking and become corporate thinkers. How many of you thought you were the garden alone? How many of you thought? No. 9 fruits cannot be there. 9 fruits can be there.
Amen.
You get it? Awake, O north wind. This is the wind that is blistering cold. Comes from the Mount Hermon, Lebanon side. It apparently kills every single thing except evergreen trees. I'll tell you, the evergreen work of the Holy Spirit will not be destroyed.
Amen.
Everything will die. Every fresh work will die.
Yes.
Say, blow.
Blow.
And then what will happen? The spices will flow. No blow. No flow. Blow.
Flow.
You get it? You get it? The Holy Spirit has to blow on you. What do you think is happening right now? What do you think is happening right now? Your flesh has to be killed. I didn't come to hurt you all. I hope you understand that. I came to kill you all. Not you, your Adamic nature. Not me, the Word of God. So you understand? No blow?
No flow.
The Holy Spirit has to blow. Kill every fleshy desire until only Jesus, the evergreen tree, is alive. And then your spices will
flow. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits.
He will flow for the pleasure of Christ.
Amen.
It will flow out to the nations. Say flow.
Flow.
You getting it? You understanding this thing now? God has chosen you. You know, there's another scripture that I want to wrap up now. James 1. You know the scripture, James 1. James chapter 1. And in James 1, let's go to verse 23 for the moment.
For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was.
Oh, stop. Rewind. Let's stop. It says, if you hear the word, how many of you have heard my word for the last decade and a half and more?
Yes.
The word of the Lord. If you hear the word and do, how many of you have heard the word and not done for the last decade and a half? Come on. Come on, people. You're being unkind today, Pastor. I told you, the operating theater, you can't be kind. You have to cut. He who is a hearer of the word but not a doer. What does it mean, hearer of the word and not doer? When you hear the Lord say something, do it. Don't contemplate and have a tribunal meeting about it. Hearer of the word and doesn't do it, he is likened to a man who beholds his face in a mirror glass and
straightway
when he
forget it, what manner.
When he leaves the glass, he forgetteth what manner, and this is what you need to repent about. The last decade, more than a decade, I have been holding a mirror saying, this is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. And you keep forgetting who you are. Because who you are is in Christ. The reflection you see is not yours, it's Jesus. So the man in the mirror is Christ. Oh, you thought you're seeing your own reflections? No. Christ is showing you who you are. But the moment you leave, you forget what manner of person you are. And you forget your image. Right?
Yes.
For we all, and goes his own way, it says.
Yes.
Read that.
For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way.
For we all have gone our own way. Isaiah 53 verse 6. And therefore Jehovah has laid upon him our iniquities.
Yes.
For we as sheep have all gone our own way. We're going astray, all our own way. You get it? Romans 8:29. You have to be quick when you turn. Come on, lazy bones.
For whom he did foreknow.
Loud.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
To be conformed to the image of
his son.
What is the image you just saw in the mirror?
Oh.
His son. What is the image he's conformed you to? His son. When you read the Bible, it's a mirror, it's a glass, and you see who? His son. But you forget it. And you go and you create an image that the world has and put it on. And the world says you're this, you're like, I'm this. And the devil says you're this, you say, I'm this. And you put on every image but the image he has conformed you to.
Yes.
That is what is written in the Bible. When you read the Bible, when you hear the message, when you read this, you see Christ.
Yes.
You should see yourself. Amen. Say, this is who I am.
Amen.
But Pastor, I don't feel like it. This is who you are. But Pastor, I don't look like it. This is who you are.
Amen.
It doesn't look like it. The situation is bad. Circumstances bad. My finances are bad. Relations are bad. This is who you are. But what have you done? Straightway, when you leave this meeting, you forget what manner of man you are. Straightway, you forgot you are that he said you are. You get it? Read Romans 8:29 again.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Pay attention now. The image of Christ. Image of?
Christ.
Say image of Christ.
Image of Christ.
Now, what is Antichrist? Now, anti may mean against, but it means another. So, another image of Christ. So, Antichrist is another image of Christ. So, there is Christ, there is another image of Christ. What does it mean? Not the one in the Bible. So, whenever you have another image of yourself, you are Antichrist. Oh, you thought you'd walk backwards on a bridge with the 666 written on your forehead, throwing up green poop. That is Antichrist, you know? Antichrist is having an image that is not what God conforms
to.
Be transformed.
Yes.
The renewal of your mind. Be conformed. Go back to James. Go to verse 22.
But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
See, this is what happens. When you are a doer, you don't deceive yourself. When you are a hearer, you deceive yourself. Mm-hmm. That is why I don't hear the messages, I'm telling you. Dangerous. It's dangerous. Don't hear the message. Because if you don't hear the message, you don't have anything to do. When you heard the message, it's on you now to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say I didn't know. You can't say I'll do later. You can't say I didn't understand. You can't say I don't believe. No, sorry. Sorry. No excuses. Some of you have been lazy. Can I say that? Some of you have been with unbelief. You don't believe it can work. You getting this? Please understand what I'm saying. I'm saying this out of love. This is what you need to repent. You need to repent. Lord, I have not embraced who you made me. I'm looking for some other image. The Lord is saying, you are a prophet, you are a priest, you are a king. But you're not living like that. So if the image of Christ produces a prophet, priest and king, what does the image of Antichrist produce? A false prophet, a false priest and a false king. What's a false prophet? If a prophet speaks righteousness, a false prophet? Unrighteousness. If a prophet leads man to God, a false prophet leads man to self. Oh, you already means to lead himself to themselves. Okay. A false priest, supposed to be a priest gives peace, a false priest will give strife. A priest supposed to talk for man to God, he talk to God for man. No, sorry. A priest supposed to talk to God for man, a false priest will talk to man and say, you are this, you are condemned. Thus says the Lord. You shall die. You didn't give tithe, you'll die. Have you heard anyone say that? You didn't give tithe, you'll die. I heard this all too often. Hey, you want to fill your pockets, find some other way. Join the government or something. You know, defraud the nation. Don't come and try to defraud God's people. No. And a false king, he'll not operate in the anointing. He'll operate, he'll have a PR team. If you have a PR team, he'll bring a traveling evangelist inside. He'll operate in borrowed anointing. He'll have all that. And he'll have his own kingdom. Why is it important? See, the thing is, either you're a false prophet, false priest, or a false king, or you're true. You can't be in between. And I want to tell you, many of you have not transitioned into your true selves. God has things for you to do. Trees of righteousness you are. Planted in the garden of the Lord. He expects great things of you. But Pastor, I do not know how to speak. I said, you are conformed to the image of Christ. In you are seeds. The seed can never die.
Yes.
Embrace who God has made you. Don't become comfortable. You know, our churches become comfortable. I never ask anyone to invite anyone. Never. You know why? That's not my job. That's your job. I never force anyone to come. We have meetings every Monday, Saturday morning we pray. How many of you know about it? That we pray every Saturday morning for the whole church. We set up a pillar of prayer. How many of you know it? And how many of you do not come? You can say, I have children and all. Look at email believe. They also have a child. They come. Okay? Just downstairs. Still. No, you don't understand. You have to get desirous about the things of God. You will come alive. Trust me. That is the transition we're talking about. Get ready, people. We are moving. And the Lord has assured me we will not move until we get our pay. We're getting our pay. We're getting what is due. God is going to give it to us. We don't manufacture it. Don't worry. God is going to give it to us. They can't hold it back from us. Don't worry. God will give us. One man suddenly decided, oh, I'll not give you. Hey, he's Pharaoh, his son will die. What he cherishes, his business that he's holding over you, saying, ah, my business, I will pay you when I want to, that will die. One man defrauded me, a mechanic. He shut the shop and went. Not because I cursed him, he cursed himself. They can't last. They cannot last. one restaurant treated me badly.
Like, okay, whatever. The entire staff left. Entire staff left. Why? Because you are a king. There are consequences. Now do you understand why we can't do this on YouTube?
Have you been politically correct? The revelation of God dies a thousand deaths with the explanations.
No, let me explain. What I mean is, God loves everybody and the revelation of God dies. So I don't want it. So what I'm speaking to you, take it in your mind, take it in your heart, pass all this through remembrance. Good old days.
Yeah.
What do you say? Good old days.
Yes.
Are you getting this now? Yes. Hey, we are transitioning. We cannot transition until we are a corporate unit. We're going to talk about the corporate unit next. Oh, we're going to talk about the corporate anointing. We're going to talk about the fresh oil of God. Right? We're going to look at the book of Ruth. What does Ruth mean? Remember what it means? Oh, I just knew it. It's just the tip of my tongue. Spit it out. Temptress? No, doesn't mean friendship. No, it doesn't mean friendship. Doesn't mean faith. Don't just throw words out now. I'll keep you on. Homework, go find out what Ruth means. And don't look at me so physically. If it doesn't mean, it doesn't mean. That's all. Go on. Move on. I'm not going to change my mind about what it means. Fragrance. Friendship. Anyway, find out what Ruth means. That's two meanings. Okay? Homework. Children, homework. What do you have to do? You don't know. What do you have to do? What do you have to do? Find out where Ruth is. She is in question. You find out the meaning. Find out the meaning. Children, find out the
meaning
of Ruth. Okay? Anyone here called Ruth? No?
What a shame. What a shame. Shall we call you Ruth? What? It's a man's name. You don't know the great baseball player?
Oh, yeah.
Babe Ruth. His name was Babe Ruth.
Come, let's stand to our feet.
Stand to our feet, come on.